Hello, and welcome to Focus and Fury, a Page 5 podcast. I'm Nigel.
I'm Casey.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Caleb.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are an explicit and opinionated podcast.
Explicinated.
There we go. So now what we're talking about, guys, today.
Start off with all the cool stuff that's coming down here.
Yeah, cool stuff.
All the pressing stuff.
Go. Press ganger. Get on it.
Say what? I'm actually going to be at a wedding next weekend.
We have to talk about, nothing. You carry on. Yeah, we have to talk about you. You just carry on.
All right, so we got a Slow Girl League starting up on Tuesday, which we and everybody else is super excited for, because we got like probably closer to 20 to 30 people.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's 15 points. And
So we're starting at 15. We're going to 35. We got the usual, like, you play a game, you get 3 points. You get 1 point if you win, and you get an extra point if you play fully painted. Which is sweet.
Which I won't get any points
ever.
And there's points for painting stuff, isn't there?
You'll play 85 games in 2 days.
But there is a Caleb rule this time.
What?
Because you can only play the same player twice in a week. Which should not be a problem for you, but it's called the Caleb rule.
It's... What, do you also have rules that you can't win multiple times in a
yes.
week?
Yes. No, that's fine.
Only one win.
You can win all you want.
You can only play Butcher 3 once. Per month.
Are you saying that it's not a cuddle Caleb rule, it's this Caleb rule?
Yes.
Right, now the cuddle Caleb rule is that you have to have pants on while you play.
And not night vision goggles.
Yeah.
Boom. Twice.
And then...
Cha-cha! And then, I love that joke just because no one else understands it. Yeah. And people keep going, who the fuck is this Caleb guy? Why are they keep saying
this? He's a classy cat. Cat.
We should,
the classiest.
About Caleb a minute, because we can talk about time turns and stuff, how they're good for metas and whatnot, but he will refuse to play a tournament if there's any kind of time turn, and we're trying to like get him into Death Clock, but he was just like, no, he's out. And yesterday they were playing just normal 50-point, 10-minute turns, and like more than once, I look over to my left, and he is just melting the fuck down because
he
clocks himself.
Yeah, his plan Cs literally take 4 hours to plan.
Yeah.
And have a 3% chance of succeeding.
And he keeps bringing lists that have, like, as many dudes as he can get in them. Like, oh, here's all of my Fenblades and all of my Creel Warriors.
So the fact that Cuddle Caleb doesn't like time turns is another pro for time turns.
Aww. See,
poor Caleb.
And the folks who don't understand the bitterness of our Caleb... Is that
he fucking took my name? He's a son of a bitch.
Well, there's that, but there's also Caleb and Caleb were having a throwdown, and Caleb needed like what 13 on
two dice, and in like 3 attacks in a row,
and pulled it off.
Yeah, he just comes out of left field with the most bullshit assassination runs that actually work.
Even more so than me. It's sweet.
The best part is hearing about this for like the next 4 hours afterwards. Just hear, all of a sudden, God fucking damn it. Oh, I fucking hate that guy.
I don't hate Caleb. It's just he brings baklava. He's fucking sweet.
He has brought baklava.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because he's diabetic.
Yeah, he doesn't eat any of it. He just brings it for us.
That's the definition of a nice guy.
Diabetes.
It's not for himself. Wait. He's doing it for everybody at the store.
No, it's actually the worst definition because he's really just trying to have you guys get diabetes too.
Well, that's because he works for a medical sales
company.
Have
you seen the store? 90% already has it.
That's true.
No.
Ding, right here.
Yeah. <Yep. laughs> All right, well, since we're so good at staying on topic, back to upcoming things.
Well, fuck that. We're running a tournament on the 28th. It's going to be 50 points. It should hopefully be Death Clock.
50. Death Clock.
50.
Starting.
Yeah,
30.
Yeah.
11.
We're chiming in.
Yeah, 50.
Yeah.
50 cent.
It's like those...
Yep. I will not be playing in it, so don't have to deal with Ocean's 18.
Starts at 11.
I'm running it.
Is that the deal?
It starts at 11. Should we do...
It says on the site that I'm not changing again. It starts at 10.
That's registration.
And then dice up at 11.
Okay, so it starts at 11.
I think we should totally change it.
For those of you who are never on time, it starts at 9.
Yeah.
I'm not changing it anymore.
Okay, if you come, you'll just be early.
I'm not. Yeah. So if you show up early, then fuck you guys.
Well,
there's,
you all should show
there's
up.
A bagel place down the road.
Come
you
on down.
Wait there.
Anyway, it'll be exciting. We got some people who are playing who haven't played in a while. Like, you're playing Case, aren't you?
Yeah.
In the tournament.
Although I did just play, so.
I mean, in a tournament. You haven't played in a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Mercs.
I'm excited.
It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, there's some people coming down. It's possible Cuddle Caleb will play.
No, it's not.
Dubious.
No.
And there's some people coming up.
Yep, we got some folks from Mankato, supposedly.
Oh, wait a second. Excited. Now they're all going to be sad. What a jerk.
Splash damage.
And we might have some guys from Rochester, which is super sweet.
That is sweet.
And we're going to have nobody from Iowa because Keith Christensen is a jerk and tells people to sleep in instead of come to our tournaments.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So that thread that I started where the entire thread was just fuck you, Keith Christensen. was in response to that. I still love him. He is a dreamy man.
Oh my God.
Oh no. God damn it.
Ballsack. Jesus.
Real quick, shirts. Norbert has asked us to basically pimp out Hand Cannon Online's Food Machine 2013 sort of campaign. Mostly just putting the word out to press gangers that might listen to the show to go to handcannononline.com/foodmachine and you can look how to set up and run a food machine event.
Yeah, if you guys haven't looked at it, his rules are actually really good and they're all really well laid out.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between those rules and the normal ones?
He those are the food machine rules.
Oh, okay. That was a fun event.
It just improves over time.
If anyone shows up, which they did not last year.
Are you going to run an event this year?
Unknown.
I think it was because it wasn't in November.
Yeah, it was.
Your last one? No. We missed.
It was 100% in November.
Okay.
It's a month where there's not really anything going on. It's a good month for tournaments.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, nobody
should. Oh, wait.
So, whatever.
Except for Thanksgiving and War Machine Weekend. And
and that actually might have been part of it, is that we had War Machine Weekend pretty close to it. It's a week out from Thanksgiving, so it might just burn out.
I've been burnt out on War Machine lately.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good announcement. You're a dirty Magic player again.
Yeah. Yay. Kind of like a game whore.
Mm-hmm. Literally like a sellout bitch.
Yeah.
Now he's on the team.
To be fair, you did look remorseful when you were doing it.
He
was looking
remorseful. It depends on who I'm playing.
Yeah, it's when he has to play the kids.
Yeah, then I fucking just hate myself. Like, I loathe myself. When I'm playing cool people, it's fucking sweet, though. It's a nice break. So. Yeah.
I agree.
I like Magic just because it's really fast. I mean, you get a whole bunch of games in. There's no cleanup. There's no setup time.
I agree.
Sit down, throw down, done. And if the person you're playing is a complete asshat, you can literally just go, oh, there's my two games. I'm out. Bye.
And it's a lot cleaner. Like, you don't have to, like, it's just...
You can't fudge much in.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice.
Like, the way you cheat is by holding extra cards or drawing extra cards or doing douchey stuff that's easy to catch.
And it's good to have a hobby that's more expensive and takes more time to research than War Machine.
That's true. Yeah, that's actually the worst part.
I'll wait.
I actually 100% agree.
Why do you agree? What?
Okay, so
no, we know it costs more, but why would you want that?
No, I'm saying... When I play Magic, one of my biggest challenges was building decks and keeping up with the current meta and everything, right? Whereas with War Machine, you know, it's a little bit easier because you don't need to, like, look over this huge volume of cards you have access to. And even if you play Standard, you should look at it, you know.
Most players, their biggest beef with War Machine, if they had one, their biggest complaint to me when I'm trying to sort of keep them interested is it would be a lot easier if it was like Magic where they could just go and see a deck list online. But, like, War Machines, you can see their deck list, but you have no idea what any of those cards do. Whereas if you go to look at a deck list on Star City, you can hover over any of those links and you'll see the card, you can read what it does and stuff. And it's, like, it's so easy, it's, like, really transparent on the information on the internet. Whereas this, you need, like, the $60 War Room with all the cards updated, or you need all the books or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they feel like they're overwhelmed, because, and also what you're reading isn't just, like, these simple cards. Most of the time with Magic, the whole point of Magic, which... the good players sort of know, is they sort of pair every release. That's like 288 cards. There's really only like 20 cards you have to worry about. That's
first standard.
Your
depending on what format.
There's only a few really good cards that are worthwhile.
They dump all those cards. They research the ones they need to know. They put the five they're going to use in their deck. You know, they update their deck. And then, you know, so there's like really fast ways to make intelligent deck decisions. And so it seems like it's a lot of work. But because it's all transparent, you can just see it all on the internet. You can really, like, work fast and kind of stay current all the time. And if you were to take, like, a set off, if you were to, like, a whole block went out and you missed it, you could catch up pretty quick. I mean, it would take a few games, you'd look at all the cards.
It might cost you, though.
It would cost you.
Yeah,
definitely costs you.
But it's the same cost as getting into a new faction War Machine.
Yeah, but War Machine's really tough because you have to go on a little bit of an adventure sort of researching. Well, unless you have War Room. War Room solves all that.
Well, even so, even if you do have everything at your disposal, right, you still are not 100% sure how to play those models.
Yeah, and you just don't even know how to look. There's like, you almost need a divining rod. So you don't even know what you're looking for when you're looking for all these cards.
There's also, like, for Magic, the Channel Fireball and Star City and all those guys will literally teach you how to play the deck.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see videos of them playing their deck online, showing how the deck works, the philosophy behind the deck. And that's beginning to start in War Machine, too.
War Machine's getting that now.
And when I got started in, our buddy Tim Flanders got me in basically by stating, This is the miniature version of Magic. There's a lot of similarities. The rules are very tight. There's a certain combos. There's certain whatever that, you know. And that's why I approach a list as looking the same as building a deck for Magic. I go, what pieces work together? How do I, you know, I want to build something that's really aggressive. Here's how I do that.
Yeah, and actually that was one thing I noticed when I first started playing Mark II and everything. Is that it was very magic-y, and it's like keywords, and it's clean interactions.
Yeah, I think they could use one more polished layer, and then like Mark III would be super legit. That's also the difference that, you know, just the
Magic cycles so often that they can keep polishing too.
Yeah, Magic's great for that, whereas War Machine's not, but War Machine is like a polished way, and they keep honing in. You can see that they're honing in on a target, whereas like Games Workshop, when they do Fantasy or 40K, it's more like, oh, fuck, what are they blowing up? You know, like, how fucking stupid are they this time? It is never like,
And it's not just
the balance. These are the balanced things that work. We're going to delete the, you know, they're never cleaning and simplifying and making it, like,
they just blow cleaner. It away.
They just do something totally radically different. Like, how's Magic going to be in Fantasy this edition? Dumb.
Well, see, I wish Privateer Press would do that. I wish they would just rotate out Kossite Woodsmen.
Oh, no, yeah, like Magic. Yeah,
Assault Commandos. Yeah. And then, like, they could bring them in, like, later.
It's actually
as a redone mechanic.
If you mentally rotate them yourself, it's one of those things like they sort of challenge you to do it yourself.
It rotates on its own.
Yeah, exactly.
As a meta.
So they leave it out there so you could pay a stupid tax by buying it by accident. Like, the nice thing about Magic is they rotate it out and then it's just gone and forever, and basically someone will say, that's not even standard, so why buy that? But in this, it basically rotates out. Like, the Juggernaut's basically worthless.
How long has the Assault Commandos been out?
That's a turd that's possibly making a comeback.
Whoa!
Yeah.
He's slowly first.
Not really first. It's actually been going around. There's a little bit of, especially with the WTC.
Yeah, they've got two lists with them.
And there's with the Kovnik, and then the ability to throw the flamethrower guys, and...
But the WTC list I saw didn't even have the flamethrower.
They both do now.
They've been updating. So, like, when they submitted the list, a lot of them were incomplete. So they've been, like, ninja sort of filling out.
Okay. Because I was like...
So now stuff makes sense. Because when I saw it, it was like, it didn't have the Kovnik, and it didn't have the flamethrower. So I was like,
yeah, it was just a min unit.
Now it's just pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so... Okay.
Yep. So anyways, there's always things that, like... That's the nice thing about having those old pieces of shit. Even though you should sort of mentally put them out to pasture, you should always relook at them real quick when you get, like, a thing that interacts with them.
But I do agree that... and I was fighting also Tim about this because we had this discussion before. He wants the rotation to happen, you know, or have where a tournament's fighting at a certain point in time in their history, so certain models aren't available. But it would be nice to have, okay, you know, how many fucking times do we have to see Gatsby? How many times do we have to see Prime De Negra or E De Negra? We want to shake up the meta. There may have to be the flush button where these casters are banned or these units are restricted. I'm not really thankful for that or wanting that. but it might have to happen.
Actually kind of intrigued by that, right? So you flush several casters for a local tournament and see how it shakes up afterwards.
I think on a local scene, you can just do whatever you want. But
ultimately,
I don't think it's a big deal because Gatsby doesn't win every event.
True.
Or Eden Egger doesn't win every event. Or it's right, like magically these guys are always prevalent and bitched about, but they're not.
People always gravitate to something specific that is in the top.
So it's not even that. So think about how many players have just bitched about playing against these casters, right? So it's less about is the caster the most competitive. It's more about would the tournament be more fun if you didn't have to just completely sweat these dick matchups that no one wants to play against.
Well, like Magic, for instance, like they took out a lot of their land destroy decks and stuff like that because they realized that it's not fun to play a game where an opponent just blows up all your shit and you just sit there and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, but, it, you know... It,
but there's still fairly predictable three top decks at each tournament that are going to be running around.
Not this last environment. There was no three top. This last meta was...
It changes tournament to tournament because there's always the meta chasers who are trying to break it. But it's still, there's the net decks have
there's always going
some
to
variability
be,
just like
there's always going to be a top tier. Like, in any competitive thing, there's always going to be stuff that's better than others. It's just, is everything in War Machine, is it close enough on that top tier scale?
I can say this. With, like, some of what they're doing with You Butcher and Morvana, I don't know if You Butcher's there yet, but Morvana for sure is, but they're clearly adding pieces that sort of shake it up a bit. And then you still have a Harpy, and they revisit, you know, there's other ones. That's, I think, what they're part of, and I despise this format, and I would never play it, and I don't think it's the way it should go, but you can see where they're thinking that Iron fucking whatever.
Arena.
Not Iron Arena.
Or Gauntlet. Sorry.
Iron Gauntlet was like, well, now you can just mix up your two, like the Harpy, Gaspy, whatever. You can just play your Harpy E. Kane list or whatever. So you just take your two power most douche casters. I do want to take a peek at that Donish list, you know, and just actually see the tournament result breakdowns of like, because I really would break down, I bet you would see. Because, I mean, even if it was like Epic Gaspy wins 16% of tournaments, that's such a skew percentage-wise that it's like,
yeah,
it would be something you need to look at from a balance game balance thing.
Yeah, so.
But she's on, like, on the other hand, who knows? The number isn't, you know, what if he only wins like 6%? Is that enough to complain about? Or
yeah, I'd be curious to see like how.
And it's not like they haven't been adjusting him.
E. Haley has not been adjusted in a long time.
But she's one that's she's always prevalent, but ominously like omitting from like result wins. I mean, she wins occasionally, or she, you know, you see him pop up, but I don't see the, you know, like so far it's the year of Morvana.
Well, yeah. And I'll just say this: the nice thing about War Machine is it's still the person on the table playing them that matters. You know, it's not just like, oh, I have the best list, so like my chances of winning are good.
I would say this about War Machine in general, especially with us. So first off, there's the turd polishers, and we make fun of the turd polishers.
You?
But then, there's me who likes to do it. But there's also, the reason why that's appealing is it's also in Magic, the roguing. So you're really just trying to rogue events, and you're trying to make something outside the meta that counters the meta. And it's a matter of like getting in the sort of alchemist lab and coming up with a combo that does it. And a lot of times, it's so severe when you can figure it out that you almost accidentally win, you know. If you can do it and you line up your opponents, you get a little bit of lucky draw on your opponents, you'll just like, it's the easiest tournament ever, you know, for you. And then you just like win with something and people are like, what the fuck? You know, the High Reclaimer or whatever, they have no idea.
Let's not go crazy.
They freak out. But, you know, so there's always room to do that and those fines will always occur. And then people just freak out. The other thing, just a side note about Magic that I like though, I was talking to Brian today about like philosophy of gaming stuff. Magic, I really enjoy revisiting. Because it's in a like sort of esoteric gaming environment, you're playing like a dragon, but it's just represented by a card, and it's got art, and it's got like three text rules, and it does its thing, and there's no like, you don't have to measure the difference between your card and its card. There's no like movement shenanigans. There's no bullshit. It's just my card shoots your card does this. You counter that.
Yeah.
Well, there's shit lots of bullshit.
There's some fudgy stuff like time interaction. The point being is it's a stupid fucking card game. It's like. It's a stupid deck you brought in. It took you 2 seconds to sit down and start playing. And it's going to take you 10 minutes to finish it up and put it away. Correct. And you're not like emotionally pot committed to the game. And so when you play it, things go south for you. Like, you still get diced by just card draw and other things. And it's like, it so breaks my emotional response to like losses or getting fucked or whatever that it makes me go back into War Machine a little more like malleable. Like, I just go... Oh, yeah, that's how games are supposed to be. They're just, like, fun and stupid, and you go through, and you can't really control a lot of this stuff, you know? So then you... I actually think, like, when I'm 2 inches off on my movement, and then, I ended up being, like, 1/2 inch closer than I thought it was, and he starts assassinating me, I just, like, you know, once I've been playing Magic a little bit, I tend to melt down a little less about those stupid events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ah, whatever, it happens. Let's just move on, you know?
No, and honestly, that's why I started playing Magic again, is because playing Jamie's Gatsby 2 list, it just, like, it was such a dick punch.
I didn't really enjoy playing it, though. I was like, I'm gonna fucking crack the code.
It's
I'm on it.
That's part of the fun.
I haven't Ocean's 18'd it yet, though.
Yeah, no, but like, it's coming, though. Like with Butcher 3. Like, I felt like I did everything right.
Yeah.
And
I got a Butcher 3 dojo, though. I have a solution. It's not necessarily the Gatsby solution. Butcher 3, with Crix, you have to solve two problems. E-Denny, which we haven't really been dojoing against, and then the Gatsby. I still think Ocean's 18 is a legit play against her, so I don't think that sort of... I think I'm coming back around on him. He does solve a lot of weird problems. Like, he's actually good against a lot of lists.
No, he is the best Kator has for anti-Hordes tech.
Yeah, he's a pretty good anti-Hordes tech.
Yeah,
he's also great armor cracking.
I mean, you had good luck with him against Ipecale. He's not the worst against just, like, regular shooting tech.
Yeah.
So, or, I mean, she's fucking great, but if he gets, you know, today... I blew up a Battle Engine Thorn and a Colossal on his feet turn. I just like... Whoosh.
He's one of those guys that can actually kind of face tank a Colossal.
A fully tuned up, but yeah, he can get away with, you know, because it's like the War Dog, whatever, you just never know. If they don't kill the War Dog, then all of a sudden he's kind of, you know...
Well, if you have like Iris, like E-Iris, and you know...
E-Iris, yep.
You can like really get like a turn of just being in that position that most casters shouldn't be in.
Yep. Yeah. And also, now that I've got I have switched Iris to his list, and then I use P Iris in the Sorcerer list. I finally committed.
Yep.
Mostly because my biggest reason was that I didn't think P Sorcerer was any good against Hordes, but in that list, she's amazing against Hordes. So that's the super tech, because she does Death Bolt and she chooses the column, so she just Death Bolts her spirit. And then I've got four Widowmakers to the spirit. Then I've got the Widowmaker Marksman to the spirit. Then I've got Kel Belloc to a spirit. If they're stationary, guess what? You don't get to shake off. And he, you know what I mean? It's just as good. It's almost as good. I mean, she's actually has a use in Hordes. I can almost get rid of two spirits on, like, functional, you know. War spirits tend to not be huge. Like, body is always a big column. Yeah. And then spirits are, like, five or six. So you can actually, like, knock out two spirits. Especially if, like, the Behemoth does prep damage. Or you just get lucky.
Harm on them.
Yeah, or something, you know.
Well, harm is a good helpless snipe.
So getting a beast,
if he rolls it,
getting a beast spirit knocked out, and then having them be stationary is pretty fucking rewarding. It's like, yeah, snake it. So, anyways,
God damn it, Jamie!
God, Jamie! It's like, I'm sleepy.
Hey, dude, there's things in front of me. I gotta play.
We're talking about Crix.
No, we're talking about Butcher 3 again. Again.
No, we're talking about Ocean's 18 again.
Again.
We're talking about players. What do you want?
We're talking about how Kator deals with your fucking Crix and bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about the Jamie Club and Baby Seals Club.
Yeah.
How's that been going?
I've actually enjoyed it because Jamie's been leveling up every week. It's a little bit more of a well-oiled machine. So it's been kind of fun to see because...
And he's starting to harden up, like we talked about previously, some of the other folks who haven't had to play against lists like that before.
Yeah. I actually got Gatsby killed.
Whoa.
On Friday.
Oh, by Epic Makeda.
Yeah.
The other
Butcher. Yeah, you and Makeda is actually kind of legit.
Yep.
Her threat range is fucking crazy. Yeah,
and she just kills fucking everything. And on her feature, she's like, oh, I killed this guy. Oh, I get his soul. Yep. Oh, I killed this guy. I get his soul.
I get a fury. Yeah.
It's pretty
fun. And then Vortex of Destruction.
It's way better than a soul.
Legit.
Yeah.
And Blood Boon Eliminator.
Yeah. She basically wiped out almost an entire unit of Bane Knights on her own in one turn.
Yep.
And then flies in Moloch Karn.
Yep.
No, he actually didn't do a whole lot. I mean, he did, but the reason I lost the game is I rolled a whole lot of 1/1/2s on my feet turn with Gatsby. Against, like, the Bronzy and some other stuff. So, there was a little bit of dice going on. I feel like I could have gone either way if I had not gotten dice. But, Gatsby didn't actually get killed. I'm sorry. I take it back. He got scenarioed.
Which is... because Gatsby 2 should never get assassinated.
No, I was, like, teleporting away and stuff.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Hellbound and teleport. Get the fuck out. He should never get assassinated.
And then the next game, he went and murdered, Ted's Vinny D again.
Poor Vinny D.
Well, I'll say this though, he bought Severus that night.
Yay!
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Did I just kick the Vinny D out of him?
No. You did.
You might have.
No, I don't know. He'll still
never give up Vinny D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should need to make like a drink, like Vinny D. It's just some kid drinking it and it tastes like shit. Like, wow.
Perfect. No, it'll taste good eventually. Just drink more of it.
Just drink more. You'll get used to it.
Literally just as chloroform.
Although I did like my first turn, I had like a bit of a meltdown because I forgot that every fucking thing in his army is magic immune. Mm. Every fucking thing.
Yep.
I play Crick, so that kind of saddened me.
Oh, you can't excarnate. Big deal.
No. Like Parasite and stuff, actually.
It's a super annoying deal.
Your driver, your easiest to use Big Bertha driver is unusable. Oh, no. You're going to have to see all the other golf clubs in the bag.
Yeah. Guess what? Guess what? Still do a lot of work. Bile thrall. Guess what? They're...
The rest of your list.
You know what Tilly does not care about bile thralls? Fucking Greater Destiny fucking zealots.
Okay.
Assault Commandos?
Guess what? Do care about bile thralls. Everything else.
Wait, Greater Destiny zealots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, zealots. Yeah.
They can't be hurt.
Yeah.
Unless you pull them in with Butcher and then spray somebody else with a.
They can't they be affected by continuous effects, though? So then they all just.
Turn? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting them on
death. Two thirds of them died.
Shucks.
Oh, god damn it.
Also, I've realized that in the current meta with Gatsby 2, you just cannot commit Tartarus ever. Ever. Right? Because he had Rupert in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he had fucking Def 15. Errands?
Yep.
Meaning that without Tartarus, the fucking Bane Knights and Bane Thralls are just not going to hit.
Yep.
Because they need nines on two dice. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening.
And even eights, you need sevens. So it's a little dicey at that point. I mean, just if you're just trying to heads up infantry, that's one of the Crick's problems, is that they tend to sort of... Their attrition gimmicks are usually like caster-based. The caster gets a leg up with like Crippling Grasp or some sort of debuff or whatever. Because, you know, even eights can you know, fuck up against the good stuff.
Yeah, and that's one reason that I really like Free Gas Peak with Carnage and stuff. Or, you know, Peace Car with Dark Guns. Because a lot of the stuff just needs help hitting.
Yeah. And in return, nobody gives that much of a shit about 12-15s or whatever they're, you know. Statixus Raiders are the most annoying ones for me, but...
Yeah, like, no one has a problem killing
Banes. And Bane Thralls, yeah. Knights and Thralls.
And I feel like, and this is going to sound like Crick's bitching again, but I feel like Bane Knights just are not equivalent to Bane Thralls. And everyone's going to say this, but... I feel like they gave him one extra armor, and if they gave him 17 armor instead of 16, they might be effective. Because murdering fucking knights is not a problem for anybody. And they're supposed to be the tougher of the two.
Mm.
And yet, be with tough, you know, I'm just getting, condescension over here.
Yeah, there's a lot of sadness around the rest of the table right now.
I'm fucking just shedding a tear for
now. All right, fine.
They'll get the incorporeal mini feet or something.
Yeah,
why not?
They'll get the UA that gives them stealth and, you know, everything else. Immune to blast damage.
Yep.
It's fucking clear, so when you purge with bile thralls, it doesn't hit them. Like,
that could be what the Scarlet does.
If you make a wish
that'd be sweet.
Yeah, you will get a new UA.
Yeah, that's what the new Bile Thrall UA is going to do. It's just clear to a bubble. It's a bubble clear.
Yeah, it'll be sweet.
Gerbil, gerbil, skull on wall. Who's the worst picks unit of all? It is Bane Thralls. I will give you a UA.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
We need gerbil skulls.
And neckerchiefs.
Sadness.
Yeah.
Yep. No, we'll all cry ourselves to sleep tonight over the plight of the Crix player.
Thank you. Just that's what I was looking for. So I'm going to be switching to like probably E Denny soon, so we can try.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mercs.
No, that's over here.
I want to
play
over and win them.
That's this douche over here.
Although I am like sitting here fondling a bunch of dwarves. So
hot.
Whoa. But I switched to Mercs before Earthbreaker.
The nice thing about those dwarves is that you'll miss Bane Knights immediately.
I already missed them just looking at them.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, Ghostly was good. Wish I had that right now.
I will admit that Ghostly's like the best thing ever.
So I have just a simple question about for a Crix player. Do you feel like that you are a better player if you play another faction that isn't so blatantly bullshit?
No. No.
Like, so...
Playing, I feel like I'm a mediocre player no matter what I play.
No, you don't feel like you have an easier go of it, like if you play Gatsby 2 over...
Tarkovich?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, in that case...
That's not apples to apples.
Hey, I've been promoting him forever. He's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Sure.
A little bit, maybe. Just because, like, Bane Thralls are so fucking good. But there are a lot of times that I really miss my Winter Guard, or I really miss my Chaosies. I mean, I think they're just different toolboxes.
Okay.
I think it's always fair to miss Winter Guard. I don't know about Chaosies.
Yeah.
When I was playing Krix, I never felt like I had earned a single win.
What?
Not once.
Oh, I totally do. Like, when I beat Caleb, I felt I had totally earned that.
Yeah, it was a good game. Like,
and when I beat Ted, you know, we both forgot a couple things, but in the end, I won, and I didn't feel like it was me just Krixing him to death. Mm. I mean, there's definitely going to be puppy kicking for that, right? But for the most part,
Do you feel like in our game, for example,
yeah,
could you have won that with a different caster?
Probably not. I think Gatsby's feat was what did it for me.
Yeah, okay.
Although, yeah, it would have been a totally different game, right? I would have played completely differently.
Yeah, no.
So I think, yes, if I had P-Scar instead of E-Gatsby, I think sure.
Okay. Because that's one other thing me and Nigel talk about is we feel like, and maybe this is just us, like, fucking giving hand jobs to each other to feel good. You put your foot under the bathroom stall. Mm-hmm. Who's a good KDR player? You are!
I have a wide stance. Fuck off. What were we talking about when we weren't jerking each other off?
No.
Get back to the good part.
We got really focused on the jerk off part.
Have you listened to this podcast? Yeah.
No, but just like saying that, you know, we feel that because we play KDOR, we really have to elevate our game because we don't play a super overpowered faction. That we have to work extra hard for every win.
You know, I don't think that's entirely true. Because, I mean, you'll run into Krix players who are playing Krix and playing the exact same things I am, and you will just house them every single time with your KDOR.
That's because they blink. That's
It's apparently a game of chicken.
Apparently.
One of the things, like, with the Peace Orchard thing I've been doing is I've been playing so crazy and aggressive. I've just sort of been letting the game just come to me, and I've just been, like, throwing it all out there. And I've been finding that if you throw yourself at people and you just don't tell them... If you just throw your shit at them and you don't tell them how to beat you, they'll often blink. They'll just, like, they won't kill you. They'll do all the wrong moves. You'll just watch them fuck their turn up. And then, so that's, like, a bad Krix player. You'll go right at them, and they'll, like, oh, you know, half the time they'll sit there and, like, they'll give you too much credit. They'll be like, why is he doing this? What's the trap? And then they'll sort of, like, well, I'm going to pop my feet. I'm going to kill the dogs. And then I'm going to put some clouds in front of them. And then the butcher, like, energizes into the clouds and sees the caster and then charges something. And, you know, it's like some stupid thing, like, where you could have just killed the caster if you'd play a little whatever. It's like, you know, with Sorsha, because she's defense 20, she can just stand out in the open and people sort of shit their pants and they do bad activation orders and they do weird things. And they could have killed her easily if they just, like, slam their own arc node over or something. But they sort of, you know, you just get away with murder sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't even look at slams on the table, yep, though.
So, yeah, I mean, even me, as my playing with a crutch, I don't even do that very often.
Yep.
I feel like that's a KDOR thing. KDOR players are like, how can I knock their fucking caster down? I want to win this game finally.
As a KDOR player, that's what I'm like. Oh, God, they're going to knock my caster down and I'm going to die.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's a good example to what Caleb was saying, right? So because I play Krix, I haven't really learned some of those tricks, right? Yeah. I haven't needed to figure out how to cast or how to slam things over things all the time.
No, Krix, that's a Krix bit. It's like, I pop my feet and then my arc node slams my pistol wraith over your caster or into your caster, and then that, not, you know, it's like they get everything going so retarded that, or decoy, that it ends up like, you know, Krix gets so much mileage out of their, like, arc nodes and the bullshit that arc nodes can do. They will slam bots. And yep.
This,
like,
episode that. Brought to you by trying to be politically correct.
Decoy. Decoy is just a good word.
I guess my point is, like, you have to agree that a guy that wins playing minions has to play way better than somebody playing Gatsby 2 in the same matchups.
Well, minions is a pared down, it's like a distilled version of Krix. It's like it only has one bit and it only does one thing, and they basically come at you with their, so Krix
or Brett or
Gatsby
or
Denny. Well, I'm just, it's kind of amazing. It's an interesting sort of comparison because it's a really powerful club. Like, it's a club that a lot of people don't have, which is like Maylock making 18 fucking Gator Men incorporeal for a turn, and then they just run through all your shit or whatever, including him. He's like armor 22 if he has the, you know, there's like so many crazy things, and all it is like jam, pop my feet, and then I win the game the next turn or that turn, whichever. And a lot of times that's like what Krix does. But then Krix has like 82 bag, you know, there's a club literally every single turn of the game. They have 30 different fucking levels. Malok does not have that. Rask does not have that. Most casters don't have that. But that's what makes Mike. That's why Morvana is a power caster, or why E-Source is a power caster, because even if she does nothing, if she got like P-Irised and fucking was like disrupted, she'd still give Desperate Pace to Wintergard, which could win the game. You know,
And she still gives them reroll CRAs.
Yeah, reroll CRAs. Right, exactly. Yeah. So she's always got stuff going on. So like those good casters are so multi-layered. And then Krix has what makes them good is they start at the top with the casters.
They're
so
an 8-layer taco salad.
They've got like 4 or 5 casters. I mean, they got 2 tier zeros, and then they've got a bunch of like top tiers. But then their solos, like their Warwick's fucking Sirens have like 32 layers. They've got like corner case rules that'll catch you. I mean, they fucking Seduce, Dark Shroud, Venom,
yep.
Stealth, Power Boost. It's like, what the fuck? They could kill you by having an Arc Node run that's, you know, a focus you didn't need to give. Yep. Or they could kill you by fucking, you know, locking a Behemoth in place. Or they could kill you by seducing a fucking Great Bear. Or they could kill you by... I mean, it's like, it's a model's doing so many fucking stupid things in a 1- and a 2-point solo. And every single thing they've got has a something that affects you every single turn of the game. They can, you know, because you're power boosting turn 1 and 2, so you're getting other pieces in play faster. And then as the game devolves, they really start coming through. And so Pistol Rays kind of can get the same shit done with
Tartarus, Curse, boom. Bringing dude like guys back.
Every one of your pieces has multiple levels in every fucking game and 80 different outs and 30 different ways to affect it and blah 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 blah. And like fucking your Texas Raiders with their fucking mini feet, they can blow up everything. They can backlash your caster. They're immune to blast damage. They can just jam and buy a turn. It's like, you know, a lot of people. That's why Wintergard are so annoying, because they affect every phase of the game. From, you know, even on turn 1, they bob and weave and shoot rockets, and then those deviate and blow something up or whatever. There's just, and then they just keep affecting the game. The more and more it goes, the more and more they affect. So bad factions, minions have one trick pony, and then it tends to, you know, and that's why mercs are always like everybody's sort of fantasy, but they never play out. Like all their casters, every single piece they have seems just like on paper have all those weird interactions, and then just doesn't pan out somehow. But I do, you know, anyways.
In response to your question, yes, I'm a bad player.
No, I'm not saying you're a bad player. I'm just saying, would you be a better player if you played something less good?
I mean, keep in mind, I started with Kador, so yeah. I mean, I went through that rigmarole.
I mean, in playing Krix, it's not having all those tools doesn't mean you know when to use them or that you have them.
Right, like Nigel mentioned
and
that.
And what corner cases you can find to exploit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you mentioned like I was leveling up with Gatsby, right? So I'm learning how these pieces all work together. Mm-hmm. And that actually kind of goes back to the whole net decking thing with Magic, right? Magic, you kind of know where things are, but if you start a new list that you net deck off the internet, you have the list, but you don't know how it works.
Yep, and you don't know what your outs are, so if you're like turn 5 when you normally would be winning if you're a good player, you don't know what your outs you're drawing to are, so then you might be misplaying, you know, you might be countering spells you should just take to the face and using your hit points properly or whatever. There's so many things in Magic that, you know,
there's a whole card counting math game that underlies it that you have to master to sit at the top 8.
And the big thing is like holding your cards and when to use your removal, when not to, like you have to use your hit points as a resource so that you take some things and you remove the things that are really important later, because it's, you know, it always sucks to like counter a fireball, but then the next turn they cast Geese of St. Taff, and you can't do anything. You know, once he hits the board, you're like fucked, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyways, War Machine's a lot like that a lot of times, but
I think the problem with War Machine, not the problem, but the difference between the two is that I can get, you know, 20 games of Magic in, depending on who I'm playing against War Machine, and you're only getting one game of War Machine, so you're not learning as fast or what your outs are or what all this stuff is as many times as you can with it's harder to master a list in War Machine than it is a deck in Magic.
Like, holy shit, you could have gotten a million games of fucking Magic in it if you don't play with time turns.
Yeah,
like some of these guys. Holy fuck, like we need to institute death clocks on every table. They don't come off. Get the fuck out if you don't like
it. It should be 2 hours period.
It's just painful. It's like, it makes me shed tears watching like these 4-hour monstrosities that they call fucking War Machine games.
And a lot of times if you're spending that much time trying to decide your turn, you're really not learning anything from it.
You're not learning anything, and it's not fun for anybody when a game goes 4 hours. Like, both people look fucking miserable.
It is fun to see, though, those games basically crash on the runway, because usually it's one side in particular that drew up a list in the dojo. It sounded so fucking great. Like, it's got, I got the tactical Arcanist core, and I got my sweet caster, and then I've got like Gorman D. Wolf, and then I've got like, you know, Orin Midwinter, and I got whatever, and they've got like 30 different parts. And then by the time they've done deployed, like, the TAC will be behind everybody, and so they can't, like, move and put their fucking clouds down. And then they start having, like, a melt. Like, what the shit? And then, you know, it just goes downhill from there. Like, their game is completely blown.
Circles the pole.
So, exactly. And you just see those games, they, like, a lot of times they're fighting with just sort of, you know, their turn will start and their caster has to allocate focus. And they can't even figure out how to get their own fucking models out of the way. They're jacked that has to have the focus. And then it's like, then they'll start thinking about it so many times that they'll actually just move a solo without allocating focus or something weird. It's like, holy shit balls. Anyways, yeah, sometimes watching games is brutal. That's basically, yeah. But well, I do see a lot of improved play all the time. You know, I see a lot of, I see the across the board play. But even me, like, I'll take a new list into the dojo, or I'll take a new list, especially when it's like Merc heavy. It's really fucking hard to, like, get all that shit going, you know. It's like, it makes sense in your head when you're making the list, and then when you get on the table, you're like, the order of activation's always tough, and, yeah.
But you're used to trying to move the game along. Mm-hmm. I mean, even a long game isn't going to go at 5 hours by the end of it.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you don't have to play your first couple of games with a list with a timer, but after you start going.
As long as the two people playing aren't melting down, like, as long as they're not freaking out the time, because a lot of times if they're just, like, drinking lemonade and sharing stories about when they were paper boys and they were 10 or whatever, who cares? But, you know, if you're playing against a game, if you're playing against a guy who's taking 3 hours and you were only taking 2 hours, you know, an hour to, you know, whatever, it's like, then that's miserable, you know, when there's like a huge time disparity. But half these games we're complaining about are like, both guys are sort of
miserable by then.
It's basically like two turtles ramming shells.
They were miserable by then.
Yeah. Oh, were they?
Yeah. They're like, ugh.
And part of it is sometimes you need to learn just to, when, let yourself go on the instinct that you had initially and go with that plan and see what comes of it. And then next game, when that plan fucked up, you can try a different one. It doesn't always help to think of 432 combinations that you could try at this particular moment.
Yeah. The one, the two, it's like, if you're in your turn phase, if the Rube Goldberg machine that generates your assassination run is so complicated that it's hard to keep all the parts in your head before you have to restart and remap it over and over and over again. You're like, okay, then this guy does this, and then this guy gives me the pubes, and this guy gives me $10, and then this guy gives me the, or whatever. It's like,
and then I found a coalescent ward.
Exactly. Just knock it off. Just stop the assassination run and just take what's in front of you. Like, just hit the low hanging fruit, redo your turn, and just not get your caster killed. Like, you know, reset the board. Take what comes easy to you, and then see if they can kill your caster. And then, you know, like, let them make a mistake. If they defend so well that you're sitting there trying some sort of weird, crazy gyration, like, if I slam this into this, that'll knock that guy down, and I can get one good defender shot, and then I can, whatever, get, like, a charger shot or something stupid. It's like, it's really not that quality in the first place, and you're going through a lot of gyrations to make it happen in the first place. And that way, when the slam comes up short, because it was like, I only needed 3 inches on the slam to knock this guy down, it would have been so sweet, but you're rolled a two, and now everybody's got focus that you don't need it because they can't shoot anything, or, you know, whatever. Your turn falls apart, and it's like...
And then you look at their table, and you go, why didn't you kill those two things and take that point?
Yeah, and they spent, like, 40 minutes thinking about it, and then they end up fucking it up anyways, and then they didn't take their control point, or they didn't reset up, or they didn't kill anything, and then it's just like,
Caleb. Nigel's talking to you.
Cuddle Caleb. Oh. Cuddle Caleb always wins games. He's, like, sweet. What? Except for against his buddy Greg.
Yeah.
Who destroys him on a regular.
Greg has Caleb's number.
Yeah. That poor Caleb.
Yeah. And he has to play against Super Makeda.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. He, at the request of Caleb, Greg was not playing Makeda. Caleb was like, out of my last 10 games, 8 of them have been against either Makeda or Butcher 3. I'm done.
He's bad in zero.
Yeah.
And
then I offered to play him with Durgan, and he didn't want to play.
I offered
like, this is a great matchup for you. I'm just going to roll tough checks all day.
With Gatsby, and he didn't do it.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, right.
Makeda, like, Rush is only on Warbeast, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, why...
You can't... Well, yeah. Oh, that'd be so good.
No, I'm just... What I'm getting at is that, like, say Makeda is this huge problem for you. Why wouldn't you just net deck things? It's not that if you've been beaten by her more than once, you should have a pretty good idea of what it is she's doing that's beating you and what's so frustrating about it. And then just take shit that stops it or denies it. Like, a lot of times you can just do it in the list deny. You know, you can play denial in the list making phase by not giving her shit she needs to kill. You know, like, so you can play an Idumi battle group spell, battle group, so she doesn't get to play in the sprinkler and on her feet turn with vortex destruction or whatever.
Yep.
She just has to, like, kill a bee, feed her a beast, and you respond with your beast, or you just alpha strike her shit off the table, or.
Well, I can tell you why.
Huh.
Because Caleb has this really bad habit of going into a game like, oh, I'm going to play a game. Let me pull out War Room and find a new list.
Yeah. Well, every single time. And he. Yeah. He also loves to polish the fucking turds.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How can I make these guys amazing?
Even if he's not, right? Even if he's not, he's making a new list, and he's not getting the reps in.
With the turds.
With the stuff he's playing.
He plays new lists with turds.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hmm. No, I mean, it's not even so much picking on Caleb a bit. It's just more of a... Sometimes players will get sick of a specific caster, and it's like, well, then start... You know, you want to make a list, ideally, if you're really serious about tournament play, you're trying to make a list that's just good against a generic set of groups. So, like, you don't want to take E-Gatsby and distill it down to, like, how do I just beat this one guy? Because you'd like to think that you could sort of accomplish a list that beats him specifically.
Right.
But then, is that good list going to be good enough? But if you really just want to see if you can do it, make a list specifically designed to, like, fuck that guy's face.
And that's a good point, is that Caleb is not really looking to be a competitive tournament player.
Hmm.
He's just having fun.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even talking about us, if, like, we're going to bitch about E-Gatsby all the time,
yeah.
Just be like, pare down what he does, counter it, and then see if that works. And then just, you know, it's like, rather than, like, taking a good counter list and then sort of, like, not being able to outplay that, we just then counter.
Yeah.
So.
Find the list that does beat it, adjust it to be what you want from there. Adjust it to be more
for everybody else, yeah.
So on that thread, does Kador have a list that beats E-Haley?
E-Haley?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The thing about E-Haley is, she doesn't like being made stationary.
So, nobody does. Nobody does.
Nobody likes being made stationary. And the best part is you can forfeit your action on her feet turn and still stationary her ass. And then, you know, Tempest her down and then whatever. I mean, on her feet turn, she's got to be pretty careful that, you know, your caster has to go dead last. But then there could be some things you're doing that sort of make that a poison pill.
Yeah. Don't let the Colossal right behind Butcher 3 go first
because
he's about to get thrown.
Mm-hmm. I've been picking out some interesting, yeah. Now that I've got P. Sorsha back on the table, P. Iris back on that list. War Machine players have to look out, you know, because I always tend to have her about 9 inches away from Dougal. So it's like, even if I'm locked down, I can't move. I can just shoot 14 standing still. That's pretty rough.
In Epic Haley, if you spread out and you force him to overextend, sometimes you can really annoy him.
That's the
big one.
That's the ball buster for her. Is like. With that all solo list, I'm all over the table. And if depending on the scenario play, you know, she can't get everybody. Like, you got guys coming in. They have to all go dead last.
But. And you have so many key pieces on so many sides of the table. It's like,
yeah. What and do also, I do? We learned, like, when I played Alex last night when he played P. De Negra. If, heaven forbid, you don't get her in the feet, like, if I'm playing conservative with Sorsha, I'm just kind of hanging back, and you don't get her in the feet, she'll just come in and just fucking blow your shit up. You know, so it's pretty sweet. She's crazy.
See, I think E. Haley actually has your number in that matchup.
She might. That's why you might go to E. Butcher. So you might go
because I feel like she can alpha strike your behemoth with lightning pods. Like, she has all your solos on fucking tilt because your defense 16, 17 doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
lightning pods though, they're too slow. My shit's all over the place. I'm all over. I got the table clouded. I'm like behind her. I'm enveloped.
The Colossal.
Yeah, guess what? It can shoot behind it. Lightning pods can go anywhere.
Yeah. No, I haven't had a problem with the Colossals yet. The Colossals haven't been a big deal. E. Haley's always good, but.
The Colossal is one of the tools that really helped her with a lot of the high defense Kador stuff, because my running Kyazes used to be a problem for her, and now it's just like, what? Who fucking cares about Kyazes? Yeah.
Now the Storm Pod just, like, gets a solo. She gets to, like, nuke a solo. So it's like, oh, they're an Orb Midwinter. You know, she got one. And then she can. You know, but it's pretty tough. Even triangulating is tough.
Well, and at Kador, like, she can just stand behind her Colossus, and you're never going to catch her in the feet.
Oh, you'd be surprised. It's 27-inch threat with an 11-inch charge and a 6-inch windrush. I mean, that's pretty tough to hide.
Yeah.
It's really hard to hide. Dead center behind a Colossal, he can get the angle.
Yeah, but then the Colossal's going to have your number.
What of our competitive players are playing E-Haley right now?
Nobody.
I played against her yesterday.
Well,
we don't have, like, super crazy I mean, honestly, those players that, like, hit national scenes are kind of few and far between. So it's sort of, you know.
I don't think we have anybody that playing top level.
Yeah, I've actually got my Signar sort of dusted off. I'm tempted to I want to do a little victory tour, but the problem is I want to also champion Darius and Kray. So I was like,
yay!
Yeah, yeah.
Turd polishing.
They are legit. God damn it! but I do want to start. I want to start basically doing the Jamie job, which is, you know, everybody has to experience the joys of E. Haley.
You're gonna get E. Haley'd right up in your face.
Yeah. Actually, I would like to see E. Haley versus E. Gatsby, too. That could be legit. See how fucking annoying that shit is. Thorne's just like, hey, is that you I see through these clouds? And you turn around, back it up. Beep, beep, beep.
Stay tuned for table flipping.
Time bomb. Guess who got time bombed?
Oh. That's too bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Also, yeah, she doesn't give too much shit about Bythralls. She's awesome.
I thought you were going to run Assault Commandos to deal with that problem.
That's true. Assault Commandos, you stop it.
Just jam your caster with your own Assault Commandos and start marching across the table.
Yep. Hell yeah.
It works out.
I'm just going to pretend I know what to do with Mercs and see if I can find a way to beat him. And then I'll be like, Epic Haley time. That's sad.
We came up with a Scornless for it.
A Scornless for what?
For Gatsby.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Huh.
Good.
Yeah.
What is it? Just get fucking eaten alive by Bane Thralls?
Prime Hexeris.
Oh, yeah. Prime Hexy's Hexy's hilarious,
Because his feet destroys Gatsby's feet.
Yeah.
Hexy's fucking good. Sexy Hexy's amazing.
Sexy Hexy's amazing. P. Hexy's just specifically good against E. Gatsby. That's one of those ones where you have to just sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just more hilarity.
That's where we're looking at Epic Magnus, too.
Yeah. Epic Magnus. Oh, my God. So we got this, like, Dojo Magnus list that it was like the Spruce Goose on its first flight, but I think it's got some wings. It's Epic Magnus, one Obliterator Rocket Guy, a Galleon, and then you've got, like...
Orin
Midwinter, Gorman DeWolf, Alexia, P. Alexia... Boomful Boomhowlers.
Dougal
McNeil. I think you got an Iris in there or something. And you've got some other bits, some odds and ends. It's fucking pretty sweet. Because the big thing is you want a Calamity Spam, and you have a pop and drop component, you have Calamity Spam. Calamity's a fucking amazing spell for a lot of problem solving. You know, the Galleon is always a problem. You have mobility.
Especially for Artorias on it.
Yep.
Mobility's amazing.
Yep. Mobility's amazing on a Galleon because you just run 14 on turn 1.
Yep.
And then it can basically sit its fat ass there and shoot people all day. You know, and it solves all its problems. I'm contesting scenario and shooting, making quality attacks on turn 2 on the whole, you know, everybody's basically fucked.
And if he does have to move, you have mobility.
Yeah, you got mobility. And Yep.
And his feet has a lot of his components that can just really mess with your opponent.
Yep.
It can really shut down scenario play.
I mean, if Magnus on turn 1 casts mobility and then just charges, he's speed 5, he goes up to 7, it's a 10 inch charge, and then his Galleon then runs 14, try to get around in front. He can't quite all the way get in front, but you could set it up so you only charge like 9, like you just throw a model like a buoy, so it allows the Galleon to get in front. And then, you know, that's pretty, you're getting up the field pretty quick, and that's going to be tough to deal with later. When he pops his feet, it could be pretty bad.
Well, and then if they don't get into the zone, turn 2, you charge your own dude and pop your feet.
Yeah.
And then it's, you basically are scoring.
Yeah. Or if they don't get enough into the zone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's rough.
If it's like a melee jam list or like a Hordes battle group list or something, you know, it's like nobody's like, not a lot of shooting or too many spells to deal with. Yeah. That feat is fucking tough. Yeah. It's really rough.
It's a rough feat.
Really goddamn rough. Especially if their options is like backing up in a kill box scenario or something. It's And then you got the Galleon buried down. So it's the same problem that, like, E-Scar or E-Denny kind of can, you know, I'm just going to keep jamming this Galleon up, and eventually it's going to catch up with you. And, yeah, you have a turn of just automatic, you know, not having to deal with anything. And you still got mechanics. You have two of those Bodger guys. So those guys are sweet because you're repairing it. So you can sort of win the shootouts if you get caught in them.
And Artillerist pop and drop is... thing.
Oh my god, the Artillerist pop and drop bit. I mean, it's just run around rat 8
with
the reroll on the deviation.
And if you let it aim on a mini feet turn, it's rat. Yeah.
And the extra powder. It's like, oh god.
But say it's a, you know, whatever, it's speed 5 or 6, and then it walks 7 or 8, rat 8 with rerolls on the deviation. You know, it's like,
and on a 4 inch AoE that just has to clip you to knock you down.
And Dougal pops that mini feet. What's the range on it? It's like. 14 or 15, and then it goes
yeah.
to...
It's
crazy.
Bring it up two.
Yeah.
So that it's like a 24-inch thread or something. It's
that list needs some awesome. Dojo time.
Yeah, it needs way more dojo time. And the big thing is the Calamity. Calamity's so good.
Yeah, we've actually been having a lot of fun making Mercs lists, because Fiona... Yeah. Recreating the Zerkova influence spam with the Fiona is fun.
Influence spam.
Actually having an arc node that has acrobatics to do it with is pretty fun.
Yeah, because then it gets around the stealth problem.
And guess what? It's still not legit, even when your opponent parks Great Bears right next to
Great Bears on a hill are a problem, all right?
That was legit. That
all eights, all day is a problem.
Yep.
But the that list is fun, and then, I mean... Durgan's just sweet. Mm-hmm. I really like Durgan.
My assassination run is to actually not hit you and blast damage you.
It's more of, I don't care if I hit you. I'll hit you if I can, but if I don't...
Yeah.
And now he's going to have a knockdown bot that is a colossal to run around with that is going to be pretty legit.
So, as someone that plays Rulic casters, what do you think about...
I think he's the Jack that a Rulic caster needs.
He does seem pretty sweet.
He's got the tools. I mean, all of the Rulic casters in some way help a shooting. And in all the Rulic casters needed something that could actually hit. If it hit it in melee, it actually did something. And he's got those two things for him.
Strike the Granite is going to be fucking sweet on it.
I don't really need it, though. It's already power 20.
Yeah, red line. But
power strength 24.
Red line's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, with speed.
Because speed is more important than strength most of the time anyway. But, I mean, also having something that ignores cover, that knocks down when it ignores cover, is a lot of fun. Yeah, well, with Durgan, 4d6 to the knockdown.
Seems good.
And you put Artillerist on it, so its rat's not terrible, and then it's a good time. I'm looking forward to him coming out quite a bit.
Yeah, real quick. Models that we've just seen... And this is probably just, you know, to our listeners, they're probably like slapping their foreheads, like, who gives a shit? But models in the last 2 weeks that have blown our minds that we've been using. Anybody had any crazies? I only asked this because somebody actually asked me, like, who have you, because I've been playing a shitload of games lately. Someone's asked me, like, what models have you been seeing that blow your fucking mind on how much shit they get done?
Of your models or other stuff?
Period. Whatever. Yeah, just general.
Caterman.
I know my answers.
E Alexia for me.
Yeah, Alexia is way mind-blowingly better.
Yeah, she's fucking awesome.
Against, with you, Butcher, against E. Haley today, just tilting, getting the three focus, and then I made two Weapon Masters, and then they finished off the Colossal, and then she still had the one, so that when she came up to time bomb me, or TK me, or whatever she's going to do with the Butcher, I just, like, cancel it. And it was like, the resources spent to do that, to just fucking nullify it, it's like, and worst part, I even warned, like, before, you know, I'm going to cancel it if we get within three. And, you know, you just sort of forget about it. And then it's like, fuck me. Because especially when she, you know, when you read the card, you don't have to make all three dudes. You can just up two or, you know, as much as you want. So you make two, you sit on the one, and then you cancel a really key spell. Fucking awesome.
Or you charge in and you fucking hit like a Mack truck.
Yep.
Because she has, you know.
With an 8-inch move, especially as aggressively as I play Butcher, she can oftentimes make those guys in the back arc or something. So it's like you got three POW 11 Weapon Masters in the nuts, or whatever they POW 10 in there. They're actually kind of wimpy, but... she's way better than advertised. At least in our list that we're using.
Yeah, her Harlan Vesh has been...
Like, Harlan Vesh has been bananas.
Yeah, he's been doing work for days with me. Just like, oh... Like, you cast a spell, pow, pow, pow.
Yeah,
like,
and it just throws people off because they'll move something up like a caster, and then they'll cast a spell at something else. And then Harlan Vesh will shoot them, miss, because their caster is always like 14, 15, whatever, and he's just rat 6. But it gets them on like this weird, I gotta deal with that guy. You know, like, well, this is fucking annoying.
Well, and then they're like, I was playing Ted, and he had Defender's Ward. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so you cast a spell. Boosted attack, boosted damage. Like,
Yeah, in my last three Ocean's 18 games, him and Dougal McNeil have killed 8 dudes almost every feat turn.
Yeah,
it's just two fucking guys just pull out their fucking mini
quad iron.
Yep. Dougal's been putting in work for me. He's probably the one that's really just in the list I've been running with so much shooting. He's like, oh, I've got this extra powder. That's amazing. Got Artillerist. Oh, that's pretty amazing. Oh, and if he needs to, he's just going to kill 4 things.
Yeah, the quad iron. I mean, it's a quick solo. So it's like, he's just doing something every fucking turn. He's so good.
He's the only problem is I can only have one of them.
Yeah. And so when you run with Hearn and John, and then you have Gorman DeWolf in the army, you Hearn and John, pop your minifig Gorman DeWolf. And then Gorman DeWolf makes an 8-inch throw with a reroll on the deviation. And it's so hilarious when you're like 2 inches short of their caster, and you're just going for the one, and you just get it because you have two shots at it. Oh, so good. Oh, my God. Especially when you're like, so, you know, because you get to choose which ones you roll. So you'll get like the three. I like the distance. I'm just going to reroll the direction. You get the one. Motherfucker. It's just like they get blacklisted. Ah, so good.
And he's great with Durgan.
Mm-hmm.
Super Hearn and John.
Hearn and John is a ball buster. That's also a getting work done guy. The only thing disappointing about them, I love them to death. The only thing they let me down on is when I pop my feet and I've just got to kill a caster. That those 2 seconds shot, the second and third shots just auto deviate, sort of is a bummer because just 3 pop 14s would be pretty fun.
Yeah, 12s. But yeah.
No, they're 14s.
Are they?
They're 14s.
I'm thinking of the Ogre and Assault Corps.
Yeah. That's what's great about them, though, is that they're Pal 7 Blast. That's like, holy fuck, that kills a lot of band with the shit. I mean, it really is pesky. On the V turn, I'm always like, if this was who the other two assholes, Daniel Blythe and the Bull, it would be D3 Pal 13s.
Yeah.
Which would be better, usually.
If only you could have. If only there was
the only time they'd be better.
Only time.
I actually, when I first did Ocean's 18, I had them in there, and I had a lot of fun.
That was back before the unit made its way into the list.
It was almost all solos or
two-man units.
I still think you should go Crows.
Crows is the specialist.
Yeah.
So if that ever comes up.
Yeah, if Hordes is your opponent.
Oh, God.
And then real quick, because we keep talking about Ocean's 18. Haven't I gone through the list on the...
Yeah, but...
Every time we post a cast, we're like, what are you guys talking about?
People listen to, like, every third episode.
Every third episode? Well, let's just go really quick.
Can you blame them? I can't.
I have not listened to a single episode.
What? Well, you're a douche.
Yeah, I know.
You're not even listening to this episode. Fucking falling asleep over there.
So yeah, because it's the same fucking conversation, 5 times in a row.
It has changed a little bit. It's evolved. So it's Sorsha, Wishnailer, Behemoth, Reinhold, Orn Midwinter, Dougal McNeil, Kel Belloc, Harlan Versch, Gorman DeWolf, Widowmaker Marksman, P. Iris, Yuri the Axe, Widowmakers, Hearn and John, Lady Ion and Holt, and the Nis Hunters. So
you should pretty obvious literally that just post that.
I have. I've actually posted, like, they'll ask in, like, episode 101 thread, and I'll post the list, and then they'll ask again in the 103 thread.
No, like, when we post this episode, it should just be part of that.
Oh, part of that thing.
Every episode from now on, we'll just have it copy and paste in there.
It'll be in the metadata of the actual file.
So, Casey, what guys have you been playing that have just been amazing for you?
My Gatorman has been getting work done over and over and over again, just keeping me in a game and just crushing my opponents.
Are you running the solo?
Yep. Run the two solos with them. And
side note?
Yep.
I would not use Ocean's 18 against them.
Ocean's 18 do not like 8 wounds.
Gator Man's.
Not a good time.
You Butcher likes that list.
I wouldn't run Butcher on that. Or I wouldn't run Ratchet on that list.
Actually, isn't Rashad good with that? Doesn't he have... What's his AoE spell that stops shit? Oh, that's just Arc Nodes.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't actually stop spells.
He stops channeling.
Yeah, he stops channeling. But the... all the times we've gotten running Gators, they've just been mawing through infantry, and they'll grab a scenario point and hold onto it for dear life, and people can't get them out of there. And making them, you know, tough and dirge and all that. And then the Hexless I'm putting together now... is only running one unit of them, but I got the Witch Doctor in there, so they're now going to be tough, +2 strength, and then Dirge on top of that, so that unit becomes really just balls. Which will be annoying for, hopefully, against my Crix opponents.
It's one of the interesting things for, like, Hordes in general, is that they all get... doesn't everybody get Gatormans? They, like, literally work with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Almost
everybody. Yeah, yeah, such a goddamn good unit.
Circle doesn't need them, though.
Not anymore.
They used to use them, but I think the
Skinwalkers.
Yeah, they're just as good.
And now that they actually have someone who cares if they're friendly faction that they actually play.
Yeah, that's another cool thing about Hexy is, like, his one cool buff spell for his infantry. They only need to be friendly models, so he gives them +2 mats. They all go up to mat 9, and then they get
with
vengeance.
A reroll.
Yeah.
But if, like, say you're running, you know, super, the Hunter's Grim.
Yeah.
They have that, their big, I mean, Gators would be so good in his list because he isn't really, he's got, his big thing is his debuff, mortality.
Yep.
It's like fucking gross. Like, those guys would just explode. I mean, there's so many things that just.
That unit's a little ridiculous. I mean,
mortality all the stuff. Only works against living, though, right?
I think it's just minus two defense. Is it against living? I'm not sure.
The cards.
Yeah, to the cards.
To the war room.
Yep.
And this is, don't take my word, because I don't play against trolls enough.
I almost want to say that they can't take Gators, because I don't think I've ever seen anyone ever run
trolls
and Gators.
Trolls, yeah, trolls and Gators.
They normally just don't care.
Yeah.
It's just enemy model unit, so it works on anything.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, minus two defense and arm, cannot be healed. It's like, whoa. Yeah.
Wow. That's
Sweet.
You get that shit on somebody, and it's over.
Yeah, we don't really have anyone playing the Hunter's Grim.
No.
Which is, I would like to right now, but...
Yeah.
It's right,
Brian's working on it.
Yeah, he's Brian's going to play him.
Yep.
We're having a hard time getting him in the shop right now.
I'm selling him on Pete Gristle, but...
Oh, Gristle's good.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, the...
I like Pete Gristle because I want to do the turn one... I want to do the turn one hoof it on the Creelstone Bear, so you get it 15 inches up the board, and you just let it camp, and then on turn two, you have an 11-inch bubble that's going to move 5 more inches... And it'll be an 11-inch bubble, no stealth, no incorporeal. Like, you just... That much stealth removal on, a 4-point unit. If that were, if Kador had that unit...
Oh,
well, first off, I would take it, even if it didn't add +2 armor. Just to have that big bubble, to not have a Spriggan. You know, it's faster than a Spriggan.
Holy fuck.
It's
rifle way more core, fire,
you know.
Rifle core into that?
Yeah.
That'd be money.
Yeah, exactly. Just eat any players would everywhere. It would just explode.
Why?
So good. Well, actually, P Denny players everywhere would explode.
Yeah. Oh, you can shoot my caster. This is bullshit. My God.
I just need to be able to take that unit. You should be able to. They need a solo that lets you pick somebody else's unit and turn them into allies.
Pay a premium for
them. You pay
Super Valachev.
Yeah, it'd be like a 5-point solo who can take a unit from any other faction. Just take.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. So I would literally spend 5 points. I would spend 5 points to take a 4-point unit and then just jam that. Yeah, I would just
You know how many fucking people would put choir in their fucking army? God damn it!
Yeah, they spend 5 points and put 2-point choir in their army. Yes, just to see how it works.
And then you got to put the 9-point lesser warlock in, so you have fury to put on the stone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Have to take fucking Russian Ryan. Russian Ryan's here you go, pal.
Hey, at that point, you get the sprint module for Butcher 3.
That's true. That's a butcher list.
Yeah.
That's basically the old butcher list.
Unfortunately, the only thing he doesn't need is stealth and incorporeal. Yeah. Removal. God damn it.
Gornigy!
It's perfect.
Indeed.
Hmm. Well, we almost had something figured out, and then we lost it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was basically
it was
Congress.
Close.
Yeah, we had the bill in hand, and then there was a fucking
thanks Obama
poison pill in there.
The hell?
Yeah. Bipartisan politics. I throw it on the ground.
I've been playing GTA 5.
That's not what we were discussing.
Wow, I don't care. It's fucking good.
Mm-hmm. It's not on the computer. Nobody cares over here.
Yeah, well.
Is it going to be ported to the computer?
Eventually, they haven't said.
Okay.
But, I mean.
They've come out and said that.
There's no way they'll just not make that money.
Yeah.
Literally, people are going to throw money at us.
It means $600 million first day. Mm-hmm. That's retarded.
How many more than that is Riddick that it didn't make the Riddick?
A lot.
Infinite.
Yeah. Yeah, here you guys got to talk about Riddick without me, and I'm super sad about it because apparently no one mentioned Jinx My Jinx or Dingo Dango whole time.
God damn it.
The two best lines in the movie just got left out of the conversation.
Yep.
Well, some of us weren't fucking idiots and didn't actually see the movie.
Yeah, you're not cool enough to go see sweet movies to rage about on a podcast.
That's true.
That sounds like a stupid
move
on
the perfect use of $7.
I'm
going to
point out that we were the coolest people at Ruby Tuesdays, and then we were the coolest people in the theater.
Were you the only people in the theater?
Maybe. That might be the case.
No, we were the only people in Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah, we were the only people in Ruby Tuesdays.
But there was other people in the theater.
Yeah, they sucked.
They all sucked.
Yeah, it was Trump City. It was basically like a magic draft was happening.
Wow.
Bunch of mouth breathers.
Yeah.
And we just lost our magic community.
Oh, no. Wait.
You fucker. You dumbass.
Wait, didn't we just talk about how sweet magic was a little while ago? Yeah.
See, don't run away.
Yeah. Come
You're
back.
Actually implying
spend money.
Magic players listen to this podcast.
No way.
No.
Crump.
Does anybody actually listen to this
podcast? Magic players don't listen to this podcast because there's no way you can actually like find a quarter. There's no way you can get a free card or have a change in your pocket or some sort of craven need for the law of acquisition states.
We're not going to trade you a termagoid.
I'm not stating that magic. I'll be the first to admit that most magic players act that way. Mm-hmm. But how much of that is because they're kids, too?
Adults are way worse about
The adults are way worse. It's more like it's just they're all that way. It's like they all just have huge ears and ugly faces, and then they want to sort of deal, and they want to drink Romulan ales. We don't serve Romulan ales, you little shits.
Get a cream soda or get the fuck out. Yeah.
The ironic part is that none of these magic kids would have any idea what you're talking about.
The adults do. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
The kids live sheltered, shallow lives that only know about Pokemon.
You know, here's the thing. Some of the kids are actually pretty fucking cool. They're like actually way more tolerable than these fucking adults that are just antisocial douchebags that
like the salad shooter family.
Yeah. Oh god, I think they were here today.
And
it was just like, oh fuck,
catapulting
Christ.
Food at their kid and
somebody slept with that woman. Why the fuck, god, would you do that?
This is a family. They bring their kid in, and they basically strap to a car, and it's helpless, and it can't get out.
Like 8 hours.
Then they order, like, Szechuan chicken combo, and that's what they feed the kid. They feed this like, infant kid who's strapped into a stroller.
But not like normal people.
No, they take a salad shooter, they take a high-speed fan, and then they dump the contents of the Chinese bowl into the fan, and it blows all over the kid's face. And then they take the kid away, and it looks like a reverse shadow.
Perfect outline of the stroller where it was sitting.
Yeah, it's the most idiotic, like, eating procedure. It's just sort of
playing magic the whole time.
Yeah, and then the kid basically just sits there in its own filth, like, eating for the next four hours.
Eating chicken, eating Szechuan chicken in its armpits. And just trying to eat its own arm fat because it tastes like Szechuan chicken.
I taste good. And you know what? And it's like, you feel so bad for the kid because you know it's like a lifetime of therapy is headed your way. Mm-hmm. Like your parents.
He's
going to
have the best eating habits when he grows up. It's going to be amazing. He's going to throw food in the air and try to catch it.
It's a little girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't go. I'm not going to get that close to the.
Yeah.
You don't want to catch the crossfire of the food.
I don't think she was here today, though.
No,
there's certain things you never sort of flip over and check. It's just sort of,
wow.
Like, it was the Sarlacc pit, male or female? Who cares? We're not going in there.
Hey, the kids.
I'm sure it's documented.
Like
though.
The most normal one in that family.
That's because it's not old enough to be weird,
dude. It's like Damien, baby. I'm not even looking. I'm not looking under the hood. I just hear the gothic music and I see the Chinese food everywhere. I look at the ceiling and I walk past. I'm not even gonna look. It's going to be like an X-Files fucking episode, basically. Like, it's going to be missing arms, or worse.
The hillbilly family. Heads.
Yeah, the hillbilly family. It's probably actually the parent.
God damn it.
Yep.
As someone that has kids, it makes me like, oh god, I'm so thankful that my kid is fucking normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
despite his circumstances,
never coming down to the shop.
That is the right call.
Yeah, keeping you away from these fucking people.
Yeah.
God damn it!
Hour and 16.
Jesus,
hour 16? We didn't do the why we started the factions.
Oh,
currently.
Yeah.
Well, we did it last week. But
well, no, we didn't get it.
We did the okay. So with Slogger League, we're all sort of entertaining new shit. So. With the current meta, we're all gearing up for War Machine Weekend. And the War Machine Weekend is, I would classify, a entry point into sort of a larger thing. So, like, next year, you know, as we all sort of gear up for more and more shit. So, we've been exposed to a few tournaments already, licked our wounds, starting to sort of improve our meta. And we've all had our factions that we went in with, but now with the Slogger lead, we're having factions that we're sort of getting into. So, I just kind of want to do, like, a quick round about what faction are we playing, getting in a new faction for the Slogger. And what about it that we thought we're bringing to, like, clearly we want to change our fortunes in larger competitive play. What do we think this new faction we're choosing is going to give us? Or what are we countering? Or do we think it's powerful in some way? Or is it going to present a problem for, you know, are we roguing? So anyways, Casey, though, you're playing Scorn, right?
Yep. I'm doing mostly just a rogue.
Yeah, you're kind of starting. Yeah, you're basically slow growing on the first choice anyways.
Yeah. And, I liked most of their infantry and love their beasts. Their casters, there's a couple.
And you think Rashath P. Hexy as your two?
Actually, Rashath and maybe Hexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which hex there is, but if I could afford it, I'd get the Mammoth and go E-Hexy and run the big shooting list, but...
Black Spot and Mammoth.
Black Spot's pretty good. Yeah. On the Mammoth is really dumb.
Jack Beanishes. He'll never use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ever.
That's true.
He literally won't even put it together.
Yeah.
It's Jack Brayton's. He only uses the base.
His is actually fucking sweet, though. Yeah, it's going to stand
and nod. If you Jack Beanishes Mammoth, I'll put it together for you.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds like everybody wins.
Yeah. But yeah, that was mostly just to kind of rogue it. Although, now that we're looking at the stats, Scorn's actually doing pretty good.
Scorn's doing okay.
In terms of their rep. But and the other thing was, when I initially started them, we only had one Scorn player, and now there's like four of us. Mm-hmm. And you were laughing yesterday because two of us were playing Rash Shift at the same time. So you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we had three Scorn players upstairs, and yeah, two were Rash Shift, and then the other one was Even Kated.
Yeah.
Even Kated won.
Four games playing.
The Rash Shift players lost.
Hey. Four games, three had Scorn.
I was going against E. Haley. Yeah. I was fighting E. Haley.
I was down already, but it's still, yeah. Rash Shift's actually kind of an interesting caster. He can be played well.
I think the only reason I got cute. Uh-huh. And I shouldn't have. I was fucking around, and I could have saved my caster pretty easily. And I'm probably won that game, but I got really stupid. And,
well, and that's also what your second game in like 6 months.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, I looked down at the board and was like, "All right, I'm just gonna do something dumb and fun, and I don't care." Mm-hmm. And that was the fun thing, is I was actually just having a blast playing Jackie. So mm-hmm. It was just like, "All right, let's just do something dumb." And mm-hmm. And see what happens. And I left my caster sitting next to a Centurion.
Yeah.
My Gladiator could have came up and wrecked it whenever it felt like it. And I was like, I'm going to go off and bother this caster.
Yeah, when I came over, the game state was you'd just thrown the Hunter, and then I came over, or you threw something at the Hunter, I can't remember what
the... I threw it at the Squire, because I hate that fucking model.
Yeah, you threw the Hunter at the Squire.
I got that fucking Squire, though, that son of a bitch.
The caster was engaging the Bonded Centurion, and I was sort of like... So what's your end game? And he's like, "Well, I put that spell in there. Where I'll transfer the first damage roll." I'm like, so he takes. Let's just say he takes 10 or 14. Then what?
Yes, more focus. Then armor 14 saves me.
Yeah. If you
defense nothing.
Yeah. It could have got lucky though. I mean, if you'd rolled at least 12 damage, you took out the right columns, you'd like could have knocked the cortex out.
If you got the cortex, it would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Or
the right arm or the left arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no, the armor still be bad, though, because he could just buy more D6. You know, it's D6 plus 5 or whatever. Yeah. Because they all auto-hit after that.
Yep.
There's the crit.
Is it the crit?
Yeah, you have the crit, so...
That's hard. It's like defense 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
It's hard to crit when you're boosting every time, so mm-hmm. It's... At that point, I was okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I knew it was in a bad spot. She was at that point. Jackie had stopped casting spells and was just literally camping focus the entire time. And Scorn has really no way of dealing with that.
Yeah, I'm torn. I probably will just play Signar, mostly because I've already got a full boat and it gives me an excuse to paint some more stuff. But also, I really should start abusing. The problem is I don't want to get too out of Kador because I do have to practice my shit for War Machine Weekend. But. Yeah, I probably will play Signar and then just terrorize people. And then, you know, that way I've got my shit out there and I can just... Someone needs an E. Haley Dojo list or an E, you know, E. Striker, E. Kane or
whatever. Kane.
Yep.
And then you can play Kador for 50-point games.
Yeah, I'm really sort of challenged or intrigued by the Kador list, so I'm sort of more in that... I mean, I really actually mentally entrenched in that sort of puzzle to solve, but... So, I'm not really going anywhere.
I decided to pull the mercs out. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting COC to have all its models and be super sweet and have all those tools, and it's months away. And looking at mercs, it's like, well, I get a huge number of tools to play with, mm-hmm. and figure, I'll see if I can make them work. Plus, you know, a dwarf and a toilet. Mm-hmm. That's pretty sweet. You got that going for you.
Are you going to still play COC at War Machine Weekend?
It's probably going to end up being mercs now. Mm-hmm. Just because... The reciprocators are going to be out after War Machine Weekend, it looks like.
How many of you guys are planning on doing the Last Chance Qualifier?
I'll play.
I'll be PG in it. It'll be sweet.
Yep. And mostly
sweet. Free rules judging.
Yeah. Over here.
Yeah, over here.
He claims that I don't have Black Spot on Durgan's card.
Will you please inform him that Kador... I can't even finish the sentence, but it...
God damn it.
Either way, it was consensual.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be PGing for the last 10 qualifier.
That has nothing to do with the faction you're playing for.
Yeah.
Slow girl. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I hate you guys.
So.
Okay, the reason I bring it up is because Nigel's talking about dojoing up for 50 point games. So, because we're doing a slow girl, some of us are going to have a hard time doing both, right? Because we're playing league games and we're doing dojo games for Warps Weekend.
Yeah.
So, fine, cut it out. I don't care.
No.
Yeah, like we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Nigel has like a pained look on his face.
The low point games are not bad for dojoing because you can at least get your rules down and some of your order of activation issues.
Also, you can get a bajillion fucking games in a night.
That also helps you learn some units, like how to properly get a unit down and figure it out and your caster. Your caster's way more important, I think, in 15 than any other. So you mean he's doing a lot of lifting.
You get enough games in that eventually you realize you should run your Colossal the first turn.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's the less pieces, the better you get at using the pieces you have.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I am banning Dan Shui from playing Karchev at 15 points. Because all he ever does is just walk in and just dick punch noobs with that.
Yeah. Oh, second turn win. He is second turn win.
That. Yeah. Yep. That was my first game. Yeah.
And he's still here.
Yep, taking Kador to fucking Karchev to the face. I was like, wow, fuck me. This is fucking stupid. Then I went back and redid my list.
And you're going to play Menoth because you got so annoyed by the book just shutting down Butcher that...
No, I'm kind of at this crossroads where I want to keep playing Kador because I want to practice it for War Machine Weekend. But I'm also wanting to pull my circle out and work on them. Mm-hmm. So,
do you find that it's because you've gotten more familiar with the game and more like, because wasn't circle your first
or no, was Kador? No, Kador was my first, and then I picked up a bunch of circle because they are probably the most polar opposite of Kador.
Pretty close.
Yeah, you know, it's just everything Kador does, they do. Nothing like it. So,
well, you get purification, and that right there's.
Yeah, well, they're better.
Oh, wait, thinking Menoth.
I did laugh because Bob, who's one of our Rhett players, got so annoyed with Rhett, he grabbed Circle and went. So you grabbed the Horde's version of Rhett. That's good. Kept on that wagon, huh?
Uh oh, Bob will fall down, go boom.
No,
admittedly though, Circle does it better, but
yeah, like. So Bob has a rough time, and he gets beat pretty often. But, like, his first two games with Circle, he won both of them.
Yep.
So, I think that reinvigorated him and, like, refilled his morale meter.
The only problem is his second two games were against Retribution, and he lost. And he's like, I lost my old faction, goddammit! Yeah. But I think we got him trees. Now that list is legit.
Yeah. Well, Circle just has... So, I feel the one thing Circle does is to, like, help a player improve is order of activation, because they're so intensive on what you have to do and how you have to do it. And if you do it right, then they're freaking amazing. And if you do it wrong, then, like, your Rube Goldberg machine fucking breaks down and you die a horrible death.
I'm trying to think of, like, factions that actually don't have that sort of detailed... backline shit that has to happen in a certain order. The two that strike me as like the least would be Kador would be made complicated. It would be like Kador and Signar would be like, because trolls are complex.
Legion.
Scorn isn't, because
Scorn's not all that complex.
Yeah, you got beast handlers.
We have pingers we have to keep track of. We have agonizers. We have to...
But like the pain givers, you know that they're... order of activation usually.
Well, here's the thing.
But a lot of the other stuff.
You have probably the best Fury management system in Hort.
Ooh, I think Legions is...
Legions is pretty good.
Legions is amazing.
Not compared... You have like four or five guys who can get rid of all your Fury.
And you have dudes that, like, a single unit that can do it in, like...
Yeah, which I have to keep in coherency. They have solos that literally just walk up and go, hey, let me snatch all your fury off you.
And each solo can do something else.
Legion of Scorn have the premium stuff.
I do.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're both really amazing. The, but there's also the Animi, too, with Scorn always has to throw a rush, and then their caster buff or whatever. They've just always got some sort of bullshit in the background going on. Or they've got the Tyrant Commander who has to go first, and then
there's
do it in a way that he's not jamming up against the back of him, and then they walk too far away from him, and then whatever.
Half a billion buffs to throw out.
Yeah.
My Gatorman, I have to get that settled down. Sorry.
Speaking of things that blew my mind, was I was playing against Greg, and he had Makeda 3, right? But he was... use the entire commander to buff Makeda 3 and give her extra movement. And her whole unit gets it. It's pretty sweet.
That fucking unit. Fuck Shield Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God. I'm playing Durgan, damn it.
Yeah.
It's really good. Vortex of Destruction is mean.
So I think I'm also going to be playing a lot of Crix for the League with a smattering of trolls thrown in just for funsies.
Whoa.
I kind of dabbled in trolls before. But now I'm just going to do, one list.
Are you embracing your inner douche?
Yep.
No, I've been doing that for a while.
Sweet.
You have to come to terms with it to play Gatsby, too.
That's true. Wow.
It's step one.
I do have a Cobra Kai headband.
You do?
I don't know.
Sweet.
Speaking of TBs, do we have it?
Yeah, Caleb. For making Nigel edit shit.
You guys. I saw one where it was... A family gave their 2-year-old lap band surgery, basically. I thought that was a little
retarded. What the fuck?
It's like, holy shit, what's going on at 2? Better, 2-year-old better have, a thyroid problem or something. But anyways.
Yeah, there better be some serious issues going on than justify
they're
that.
Just trying to get him ready for a pageant.
Yeah. Oh, God. My God.
Oh, woo.
Yeah. There's something wrong with this fucking country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's not just this one.
Yeah.
If it's all the same, it looks normal.
God. I got a sweet pea.
Who's a sweet pea?
Do it.
We're going to give it to Nigel.
For what?
His birthday.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, yeah. God.
Wait, we automatically get those on our birthday?
Do we get to sing?
That's sweet.
Nope.
No.
Yeah,
it's not sweet.
No. Oh.
But we'll give him one.
Yeah, TB.
Casey. What the fuck?
For Mitch, my birthday.
What the hell?
Wait, well, Casey, it was your birthday, too.
Yeah, it was.
A couple days ago.
Yeah.
Right. Whose birthday is it right now for everybody?
Yours.
Beanish's birthday. Beanish. Sean Valenti.
Yep.
Yours, mine.
Casey. Yep.
Isn't it Keith's right around a week ago? Keith was a week ago.
Yep.
I gave him the obligatory disingenuous Facebook bump. let's see, what was the other but I get that for everybody. It's like this, Facebook reminds me and then I have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's about 1.5 billion people in a 2-week span.
There's a shitload of Virgos.
Yeah. It's kinda weird though.
Yeah. Hey, a lot of people are banging in January. What do you want?
Yeah. Yay, New Year's Eve. Yeah, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold outside. I'm bored.
Let's make a baby.
Woo!
All right. Who's in it? You got another? Someone had another TV. We just discussed it.
I'm unhappy with car dealerships, but that's about it.
Car dealerships?
Yeah, because they charge you out the ass for stupid shit.
Yes, they do.
Remotes are really expensive components fabricated in China. Okay.
The worst part is, I looked over my receipt, right? And literally, these guys just reprogrammed 2 remotes for me and then put them back in my car. And there was $6 of maintenance and materials fees. I'm like, what the fuck did you guys do?
They had to get a pencil.
Yeah, right.
That takes time. You got to requisition it from someone. Someone's going to have to order another pencil, because now you're going to chew on that one.
Properly recycle the first one.
Yep, in the garbage can.
Right. What about you there, Mr. Caleb?
It's fucking late. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Nope.
ITB starting at 11 o'clock.
Yep. Yeah.
He must be happy in his world. must be happy. He must be happy in his world.
I can't even think.
That might have been where we were raging about long games.
God damn it, get down off your game. My TV is people that don't play with time. Mm-hmm. Time turned.
There. I knew there was one.
Yeah, there you go. It's fucking... That's horrible.
Caleb, you're going on turns.
Yeah. Everybody's going on turned. Time turned.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The lap band one, I don't know if I know the circumstances well enough to...
It's a thyroid one?
Yeah. I mean, if there was a reason... It was, like, legitimate.
It looked like it was just fat baby.
Too many cheeseburgers.
Fat baby.
I'm going to go with the time turn so I don't get it.
Yeah.
I now change my vote to Casey.
You are...
All in favor of Casey.
Happy birthday.
You're just a fucking...
We'll get you a cake that just says TB on it.
Yeah. Extra icing.
Diabetes.
Diabetes.
You are a troll
player. The news article, I think.
Yeah, he literally is.
What? I had to go cut the sleeves off my shirts now.
Go buy a Trilby.
This is like the last half hour has just been cut off.
Done.
Yeah. I checked and it was like, we were hour 15. I could like...
Yep. You know, you should just like make a collage of all the stuff he cut out.
No, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah,
we'll just have a day where we release all the uncut episodes. We don't want friends anymore.
I'll get death threats from multiple people.